I was just thinking when the brother was praying, if God answers that prayer that he prayed, we're going to be good to go. And he prayed that the Lord's will would be done here on earth just like it is in heaven. And I thought about that before. How precisely is the will of God done in heaven? Precisely, right? I mean, there's no rabbit trails off of it. There's no distractions from it. And so may God's will be done on earth here today as it is in heaven. That is our prayer as well. We say amen to that prayer, brother. So we greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is our desire to lift up the Lord, that he would have free course. That's a phrase from Scripture, that the word of the Lord would have free course. And I've thought about that also. If we can really do that, if we can get ourselves out of the way enough for the word of the Lord to have free course, that means God can do whatever he wants to do with any of us. And that is our desire. So may God have his way this morning. We have a subject before us we would like to consider today that we believe is very important, very foundational in the kingdom of God. We'd like to consider the subject of forgiveness. Coming in like this, I don't know the subjects that have been presented or the chronological teaching that may be taking place here, so I don't know where forgiveness fits into this, but this is what the Lord laid on my heart, so we'll bring that before us today. We say that this is a very important foundational subject for three reasons. The first reason, forgiveness is such a big thing for the people of God, is that you will never enter into the presence of God without it. Amen? We're not going to enter into the presence of God full of sin. We're going to enter into the presence of God forgiven. And we'll never experience the joy of salvation without it. There's just no way. We will never be in Christ without forgiveness. So it's a big part of our personal testimony and our relationship with God that we are forgiven. And it brings tremendous joy, should bring tremendous joy and rest in our heart that we are forgiven. So the second thing that we say this is foundational and so important is because this forgiveness is a very scriptural part of our relationship with each other as brethren. This is one of those subjects that is not just a blessing of God toward us, that we have from God, that we are forgiven, but it is a commandment that we pass this same forgiveness onto each other. And I want to emphasize same forgiveness. There's not a certain level of forgiveness from God to us and another lower level of forgiveness that we give to each other. It can't be. We are to forgive one another even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. It's just the same. And so that is a very foundational principle for the kingdom of God. It greatly affects our relationship with each other as we fellowship here as a congregation. It tremendously affects our fellowship that we forgive one another even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And if we don't forgive, if we can't forgive one another, there is a very serious message that comes to us from the Scriptures. And you know what that is. It's, then neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And so we need to consider this. And we will take a look at this today. The third reason it's so foundational, the subject of forgiveness in the kingdom of God, is that it is the message, it is the hope that we bring to a lost and dying world, to a sin-cursed world. It's the message of forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. And it's the message of the Great Commission. Jesus said in Luke that repentance and remission of sins, there it is, removal of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. This message, brothers and sisters, needs to go everywhere. And it's a hard message for us to take out there if we can't make it real right here. And so this is pretty big stuff. Very important stuff. Very scriptural. Very heart of God coming forth to us. So we want to consider this subject that's a part of our testimony, a part of our relationship with each other, and a part of our message to a lost and dying world. It's actually so big, I just think maybe we'll just take a minute to pray again. That God would have liberty, that God would have free course. Let's pray. O Lord, we know that you are here, and we tremble. We feel reverence. We worship. We are so thankful for our forgiveness. But as we stand here this morning, Father, before this crowd of people, I don't know who is here. I can't say the names of most of these dear people that you know so well. There may be someone here who has never experienced the forgiveness of their sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be someone here who has never witnessed the full assurance of that forgiveness. There may be someone here who has never been able to pass that forgiveness on to others. Maybe we all have come short of bringing this message to a lost and a dying world. So I don't know who's here today, Father. But I know this, I'm here. I don't know all these people, but I know me. And I know how great my need is to get a hold of this great setting free from you of forgiveness. And I know my great need of being able to pass this same forgiveness on to my brother, to my son, to my pastor, to my wife. Give us this grace, Father. We pray that you would truly have free course here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to begin by opening our Bibles. I encourage you all to open to Psalms 103. I'd like to read this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm, and I'm just going to say it's just 20-some verses. We'll just read the whole thing, and then we'll draw some from some verses very specifically from this passage of Scripture. And may the grace of God be upon us as we read. I've always liked that Scripture in Acts that says that great grace was upon them. That may that be our the reality of what we experience here today, that great grace would be upon us. I don't think it's possible for great grace from the God of heaven to be upon us and nobody knows it. We're going to feel it. We're going to feel that stirring within us. And may God have liberty to stir within us. That's where great grace comes from. And so may great grace be upon us as we read this passage. And then we'll come back here to consider our subject. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, praise God. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. We're going to look at these verses. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. But we're not perfect. God knows that. He remembers that. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Look at this verse. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Tremendous passage here. Says it's a psalm of David, a man after God's own heart. So let's take a look at some of the things that David says here on our subject of forgiveness. There are some very special verses in here. One of them is, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Another one is, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. But there are also some tremendous verses in here that I want to look at that I think are a foundation for forgiveness. You see, forgiveness doesn't just come out of nowhere, right? If we're commanded to forgive and we don't love, we don't have mercy, we can't just drum up forgiveness to forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. It's a tremendous foundation that forgiveness is built upon. Forgiveness comes forth out of love. Forgiveness comes forth out of love and mercy. And if that tremendous love and mercy is not there, it's going to be very, very hard to forgive. I'm going to say it's going to be impossible to forgive as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, unless that tremendous love and mercy is in place. So whenever we read a passage of Scripture like we have here, I think it's so important that we understand it, that we do everything that we can to comprehend it. Don't just read it and then think you've fulfilled your obligations. We need to get a hold of this thing. There's some things in here that it's going to take some great grace for us to get a hold of. So I want to proceed that way. The magnitude of what is being said here. Verse 17, I want to look at verse 17 first. It says that the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And this is one of the verses that I think is a foundation for forgiveness. And we're going to have to understand everlasting. Everlasting means lasting forever. Never having an end. And so we're gonna have to comprehend eternity to get a hold of this. And we know that we can't comprehend eternity, but I believe in our spirit, we can. That's what the great grace of God can do within us. It can take us beyond what our finite minds can get a hold of and can stir us in a mighty way in the kingdom of God. And so may God have that liberty upon us this morning. From everlasting to everlasting, from all eternity to all eternity, two eternities we're talking about here. How big is that? How much mercy is that? The mercy of the Lord. That's what we're talking about. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. That much mercy. I want us to know this morning, and I just want to throw this in as a little side point on forgiveness. Even with that much mercy that fills up two eternities, is not enough mercy to forgive. Did you know that? It's the foundation for forgiveness, but that's not where forgiveness comes from. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's pretty scriptural. We understand that. But it took all that mercy for God to send his only begotten son down to this earth. That's how much he loved us. For God so loved the world so much. Love that fills up all eternity. Mercy that fills up all eternity. That's the foundation for forgiveness, is this love. And I want to keep the foundation for forgiveness together with forgiveness. Because if we don't have the foundation, if we don't have love and mercy toward each other, what's that old saying? You're up a creek without a paddle or something. There's no way you're going to get it done. There's no way we can forgive without that kind of love and mercy. So when God sent his son, it's through faith in the blood that was shed by which we have forgiveness of sins. And that's what Paul preached in the book of Acts. Acts 12:38 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren." In other words, here comes a real truth now. "Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." But it took that much mercy to make it happen. So with that mercy in place, let's go back to verse 10. I want to look at verse 10 here. It's in chapter 103. He says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." We need to understand how far God has removed our sins from us when he didn't deal with us according to our sins. He dealt with us according to his mercy. He dealt with us according to his forgiveness. And we need to understand how far his sins have been removed from us. And to understand that, he goes into verse 11 here, "As the heaven is high above the earth." Now, we've all stood outside and looked up into the heavens, and that heavens here is not talking about, you know, clouds and the atmosphere around earth. Sometimes them clouds are pretty low. I looked out this morning and saw them just right down hugging the mountain. But that's not what we're talking about here. As the heavens, that word heavens is astronomy. That's talking about all of outer space. That's talking about the ether planes, everything out there, everything. And we all know how big that is. We've all been told how big that is, but we can't comprehend it. We are here. On the planet Earth, of planet Earth and our solar system, we're in the Milky Way galaxy. And scientists tell us, and our galaxy, that's all the stars of the Milky Way. That's everything that you can see from here. That's the galaxy that we are in. And scientists tell us that there are probably 100 billion more galaxies beyond us out there. We can't get a hold of that. We can't comprehend that. And they say there's 100 billion more out there. And then they say, and there's probably more beyond that. In other words, there's no way that we can get a hold of how big this is. And our God, it says the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. The bigness that we're talking about here can't even hold God. And the mercy that God had upon us. I was just thinking, we have all looked up into the sky on a clear night and seen the stars of the Milky Way and tried to comprehend that. We can't comprehend it. And our prayer this morning is that by the great grace of God, our spirit can get a hold of the mercy that it took to bring this great forgiveness upon us. And then he says in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. I think to better understand this, do we have a pen that will work here? I'd like to give a little lesson in geometry because I think it's so interesting. I remember I liked geometry in school. And I remember when you had point A and point B, and you connected them. Now, this is not a line connecting. That's called a segment. From a point to a point, that's a segment. You can connect A and B with a segment. And A and B are connected. A can always find B, and B can always find A. I don't care if they're 10 billion miles apart. They're connected. A knows that all it has to do, even if it's 10 million miles, is just keep going this way, and A will find B. That is not how far God has removed our sins from us. None of this from A to B, or 10 million miles, or 10 billion miles, because you can always find it. A can always find B when they're connected. But in geometry, they taught us that a true line is illustrated this way, never ending in that direction, never ending in that direction. And the illustration here that A is here and B is here. They are totally disconnected. A can never find B because however far A goes in this direction, B is always beyond it. It'll never get there. B can never find A. B can go this way as far as he wants to, but no matter how far he goes, A is always beyond it. A total disconnect. That is how far God has removed our sins from us. This can only be illustrated in outer space. And that's what we have here. What we have here, the definition of a line is from that. That's what everlasting is. To everlasting. It's as far as you can go that way. To as far as you can go that way. A total disconnect of any of this A and B stuff. Or me and my sin stuff. They're disconnected. As far as the east is from the west. Isn't that how we illustrate the east and the west? It's like this. East and west. They're totally, it's not east isn't here, west isn't here. That's nonsense. East and west is how far God has removed our sins from us. We are learning here about the remission of sins through faith in the blood of Jesus. They are gone. Let me tell you a story. This is a true story. I know it's a true story because, it happened to me. And this is kind of a confession. I don't really like to tell it, but I got a ticket. I don't know if you've ever seen them red lights come on behind you and pull you over, and I don't even remember what I was doing wrong. I was probably speeding, but I don't remember. And I got a ticket. That officer was very nice, but he wrote me up. And when he wrote up a ticket, he said, now you can pay this ticket and send the money into this address or something. Or he said, you can appear in court. And I was thinking about that and I thought, I think I'll appear in court. And it wasn't because I didn't think I'd done it. I was totally guilty. I knew I was guilty. I don't even remember what it was, but I knew I was guilty. But I appeared in court. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it's kind of a different experience. But I sat there, and the judge was here, and I had to wait my turn. And the time came when my name was called, and I stood right there before the judge. And he pulled out this ticket. And he's looking at this ticket. And he asked me a few questions, and I answered them as best I could. I let him know that I was definitely guilty. I was as guilty as you could get. But I was sorry. And I was looking for mercy. That's why I appeared in court. I wanted mercy. I was guilty, and I told him that. And he was listening. And I assured him I wanted our roads to be safe. And I didn't want to disobey. But I was guilty. And he paused for a little bit. And this is what he said. He looked at me and he said, I think I'm going to forgive you of your sin. I think he said citation, but I'm saying sin. I'm going to forgive you of your sin. You are now free. You may go. That's what he said to me. And I was so surprised. I couldn't even register what he was saying. And so I stood there and I was kind of looking at him confused. And he said, I said, you are free. You may go. Well, I caught on a little quicker that time. And so I went. And I knew that when you stood before a judge, when you walk away, you go down the hall to the clerk of some kind and you pay whatever it is you owe. The court fees and the fine. And so I went into the clerk and I stood there and she said, can I help you? And I said, yes. I said, I just stood before the judge and he released me. And so I'm here to pay whatever I owe. She said, what is your name? So I told her my name. And she had this stack of papers, pretty good stack. And she went through this stack of papers, and she couldn't find me. And she said, what did you say your name was? And so I told her again what my name was. I knew I had it right. And she went through that stack of papers again, and she said, sir, there's nothing in here about you. You are free. You may go. And I was kind of, what's the old saying? Blown away. I was kind of blown away. And I thought, so I went. And I went back out through the courthouse, through the checks and whatever you go through to get in there. And I got out and I was feeling so free. I thought, wow, that judge got rid of that citation and it's gone. And I there's nothing left. And I stepped out into that street, and I felt so free. I think I might have felt more free than I've ever felt before in my whole life. I was free. I was absolutely set free. So that's a story I want to tell you. But now I want to tell you some things about that story. I want to tell you something about that judge. He forgave my sin. He did this to it. I'm just going to erase those so they're not on there. That's what he did with my sin. They couldn't find it. The clerk couldn't find it. They knew who I was, but there was no offense anywhere. He forgave my sin. He did it right. It was gone. It was completely gone. But I want to tell you something about that judge. He forgave one of my sins. That's it. He forgave one sin. What about God? What about what we read here in verse, whatever it is that says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. How would you like to be forgiven that way? That judge forgave one sin, and I felt so free. And I tell you this morning, if you think I felt free having one sin forgiven, how does it feel to have them all? Everything that you have ever done wrong, everything that you are in Adam, like this. That's what it means. That when the Son hath made you free, then are you free indeed. Not one thing. That's what Colossians says, that he will present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Can you imagine standing before God and there's nothing that he can blame you for? Nothing that he can reprove you for? It's all gone. That's what forgiveness is. This is the message that we preach to a sin-cursed world, to a lost and dying world. This is the commandment that we have received for each other. We forgive this way. This is the message of forgiveness. It's powerful. It's incredible. I want to say some more things about that story that I told you. Anybody here who might be halting between two opinions and not ready to step forward and accept the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for this kind of forgiveness, I want to share this thought with you. I knew that I was guilty of my sin. I knew I was. And I had an appointment to stand before the judge. I was on my ticket. On a certain date, you have to be here and you have to stand before the judge. And I kept my appointment. I showed up. I was there. I confessed my sin. And I was forgiven of my sin. But I want to challenge you with this thought. What if I had not kept my appointment? What if I hadn't showed up? What if I had mocked it? What if I had made fun of it? What if I said, "Who do you think you are bringing me in here? I got things to do." What I did wasn't that bad. All the things that I could have said, what would have happened to me if I had not appeared at my appointed time? We know what would have happened. There's a point where I'd been arrested. They'd have sought me out, and I'd been served some prison time. I'd have had a punishment. And so I want to challenge us today, what will happen to anyone that misses their appointment with the judge of all the earth, whose mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, whose invitation is for whomsoever will? What if you miss your appointment with him? Then what? We don't want to do that. So now I would like to consider a couple things. Ephesians, well, I don't need to turn there. I can just read it, quote it. Ephesians 4:32 says that we would be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are commanded in Scripture to forgive, Dad. We need to forgive our son. We need to forgive our wife. She needs to forgive us. And repentance goes with all of this, but we need to forgive one another just like God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. It's the same forgiveness. And let's just be reminded here that of the foundation for forgiveness, infinite love and mercy and patience for each other. Brothers and sisters, if you try to forgive someone and you really don't love them like God loves us, if you really don't extend mercy to them, you're not going to be able to forgive them as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You'll probably say things, "I forgive you, but When we forgive like God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, there's no buts about it. It's complete. It's right here. It's from everlasting to everlasting. It's from the east to the west. That's God's forgiveness. It's beautiful. It really is. It's an awesome thing that should stir us. May the great grace of God be upon us to get a hold of this thing. Because it's right here. The heart of God. What he did when he sent his son. How he forgave. It's right here in Psalm 103. And we need to get a hold of this. So may God be with us as we consider this subject. I want you to know this morning that anything between you and your brother that is not forgiven is going to be a hindrance to you in your walk with God. It's going to be a hindrance to you in your relationship with God. Unforgiveness is so damaging to relationships. Anything between you and your brother is also going to be a hindrance to your prayers. We have that scripture very specifically about husbands and wives. If we are not heirs together of the grace of life, if we just come together like this, there's a hindrance. If we don't come together like this, being heirs together of the grace of life, it says that your prayers be not hindered. I just tell you, we cannot afford to have our prayers hindered in raising children. We can't afford to have our prayers hindered in worshiping as a fellowship. We can't afford to have our prayers hindered in reaching out to the lost and dying world. We can't afford to have our prayers hindered. We can't afford to have our relationship with God hindered. And so I'm just trying to encourage us in a very scriptural way. We need our relationships to be right. I want to read in Mark 11. You can turn there. These are words of the Lord Jesus. Mark 11, 22 through 26 goes like this. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, what's that mean? I know what that means. Verily, it means this is very, very true. This is Jesus saying, verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. But he's not done talking here yet. And he says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. Let's just see what happens if we don't do that. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. That doesn't sound like answered prayer to me. If our Father in heaven, because we won't forgive our brother, and he won't forgive us, that doesn't sound like answered prayer. That sounds like depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. That's a long ways from answered prayer. We can't afford to have that handicap among us of unforgiveness. God puts tremendous emphasis on relationships. And when our relationships are not clear, what did God say in the Sermon on the Mount? I think the Lord said, If you bring your gift to the altar, if you're coming to worship, if you're coming to do something great, if you're ready to launch out in the kingdom of God and do some good thing, if you bring your gift to the altar and all of a sudden you remember that your brother has aught against you. What God says there is just stop. He really just says stop. I know you're coming to good things, do good things. I know you want to serve me, but just stop. And lay your gift down. Just forget about what you're trying to do. And you go make it right with your brother. That's what he said. He said, stop. You turn around and go the other way. You go make it right with your brother. Maybe we should just read that. That's in Matthew. If thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother and then offer thy gift. Don't we want God's blessing in raising our children? Don't we want his blessing on our service in the kingdom of God? Then go first, he says, and reconcile to your brother, to your wife, to your father, to your pastor. Let's get specific. People are people. They have positions. That's where you need to go. Right to the problem and make it right and be reconciled. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And sometimes we act like we don't even know what it is. We need to exercise ourselves in it. And then take your gift, and I'll bless you as you go. I want to read another account in Matthew 18. We all know this story, but these are here, and they're so powerful. I'm just going to read verse 21 to the end. Matthew 18. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Peter was afraid this thing was just going to go on and on forever. Till seven times he was wanting to put a stop to this thing. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, because of this, because it's not seven times, because it's 490 times, because of this, therefore, the kingdom of God is like this. This is what he's saying. The kingdom of God is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. He owed him 10,000 talents. Have you ever looked that up? Has anybody here looked that up? Do you know how much that is? You look it up, and you'll find there's some variations, but basically it's $3.5 billion. That's how much we owe the Lord. That's what he's teaching here. A debt you can't pay. If I had to pay $3.5 billion, the interest would kill me. I could give 100% of my whatever I earn every day as I work, and I'd never get there. I'd be going deeper and deeper just because of interest. There's no way you could do it. And so he pled, and God had mercy. Then the servant fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. That's ridiculous. He couldn't pay any of it. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion from everlasting to everlasting, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Do you know how much that is? Have you ever looked that up? I looked it up. $237. That's what it is. $237 versus $3.5 billion. This man had been forgiven $3.5 billion, and he couldn't forgive $237. So let's see what happened. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he meant it, and I think he would have, and he could have. But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, $3.5 billion, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This is scripture. This is the heart of God coming forth in our midst. And it's teaching us, this parable is teaching us how much we have been forgiven from God. $3.5 billion is the figure that's used here. And we can't forgive $237 from the mistake our brother made. That's what it's teaching. And if we can't do that, neither will your Father forgive you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. I'm just going to challenge us with a simple question this morning. If we can't forgive, what if God meant what he said? What if he meant that? I'm going to read that again. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, this is Jesus speaking, do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. That's not just from your lips, I forgive you. That's from your heart. What if God meant what he said? What if that verse is true? It is true. There's no what if about it. And so may great grace be upon us. I want us to know that the promises of God have a condition. I don't know if you believe that. I just could tell you, I believe that. The promises of God have a condition. And when the condition is met, the promise is sure. But when the condition is not met, the promise is in jeopardy. I would challenge us to think about that, because I believe it's true. I believe it's consistent with scripture. I marvel that there are so many people who take away the conditions of the promises of God and just claim them anyhow. They don't live up to them. They don't fulfill them. They kind of ignore them. Sometimes they even ridicule them, and they still claim the promise. Can we do that? We can't do that. We can't do it. I marvel. That little word if that appears so much in scripture, the condition usually follows that little word if. And the word then usually brings on the promise. That's where the promise comes from. If my people, and then you get the condition. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then that's the condition. If my people will do that, then I will hear from heaven. Here comes a promise. Promise always comes after then. And the if thens of scripture are many. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. When the condition is met, the promise is sure. I want to give us a couple more examples here. Colossians 1 that we referred to earlier, that Christ will present you holy. Christ will present you. When you stand before a holy God, Christ will present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's a glorious promise. I stagger sometimes. I know myself. I know my weakness. I know my faults and my needs. And I stand before a holy God, and Jesus Christ presents me holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's incredible. But does anybody here know what the next word is in Scripture? In that sentence. See, that's not the end of the sentence. There's no period there. He'll present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight if ye continue in the faith and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which is preached to every creature under heaven. This is a worldwide condition. And man can't get it. We claim the promise anyhow. We can't do that. If means there's a condition that needs to be met, and then means the promise is sure. God gave a promise to Eli. I'm going to read it in 1 Samuel 2:30. I appreciated that devotion this morning, brother, whoever did that, reading the Old Testament. We can learn some very interesting things from the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 2:30 says this. God was speaking to Eli, and he said, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and thy father's house should walk before me forever." I said that. God said it to Eli. I said, indeed. No question here. I said, indeed, that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith, be it far from me. In other words, forget it. I know I said that. I know I said, indeed. But you didn't honor the condition. But now, be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. This is God. We can't just thump the condition out because we don't like it. We can't thump anything out of Scripture. The conditions are there. I'm going to read this verse again. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. He was talking about standing in the priesthood before the Lord. The sons of Eli, the sons of Aaron would be in the priesthood before him forever. And God can thump. He thumped that promise right out of there and gave it to someone else. He gave it to Samuel. We can't disregard the conditions of God. I want to give you one more and then I'm going to close. In Acts chapter 27, I love this chapter about shipwreck. I read it often. I love it every time I read it. But I was noticing here, there's a very interesting promise in verse 21. 27:21 goes like this. Here's the shipwreck. Storm, been raging for 3 weeks. Won't quiet down. They all hope that we should be saved was taken away. It was a hopeless situation. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Paul's telling them, nobody here is going to perish. You're all safe. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul said, I believe God, and there's not going to be loss of any man's life. And then if you look down in verse 31, when the sailors were trying to escape out of the ship because they knew the ship was doomed, Paul said to the centurion, he said, verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these sailors right here that know how to run this ship, except these sailors stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now, wait a minute, Paul. The angel of the Lord just stood before you and said there was not going to be loss of any man's life. God has given all them that sail with thee safety. And now Paul is saying, except these abide in the ship, you can't be saved. You can't do it. I'm just saying, there's a condition. When there's a condition, the condition has to be met, or God is faithful. And forgiveness has two conditions: confession and repentance. I think that would be scriptural to say it that way. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the message that Jesus said needed to go forth to the whole world, all nations, that repentance and remission of sins go together. They cannot be separated. It's the message of the Great Commission. And this should be preached in his name among all nations. And so I'm going to close. I feel like we are before the Lord here this morning. And we all need forgiveness. I tremble at the thought of the promise of forgiveness being taken away from me because the condition was not met. Because I didn't turn from my wicked way. Because I refused to forgive my brother. I tremble to think that my forgiveness will be put in jeopardy because I didn't fill the condition. I want to challenge us this morning. I want to remind us when the condition is not met, the promise is in jeopardy. But with that, I want to also remind us, and this is a very positive statement, when the condition is met, the promise is sure. We have assurance of salvation. People that struggle with assurance need to get a hold of this. When the condition is met, the promise is sure. Forgiveness is free. Forgiveness is like this. All the way that way. All the way that way. That's the way God's forgiveness is to us. That's the way our forgiveness is to each other. Let's pray.